3, 2, 1. This is the Insiders Podcast.
Hey, kids. All right, today I have kind of a crazy story for you. Now, I've covered COVID a few times before, and before you roll your eyes and think to yourself, I'm so tired of hearing about COVID, let me confirm to you that most of us are. But what makes this story special is that it's with a friend of mine who literally almost died from COVID. Think about this for a second. How many of us have thought, I don't even know anyone who's gotten COVID, and at times it feels like it's not even real, right? We're told to walk around with masks on, to disinfect our hands all the time, to stay in when we can, and meanwhile, it just doesn't feel real. Well, I'm here to say that I know someone, and not just that, I know someone who literally almost died from it. His name is Jay Chowdhury, and quite honestly, I wasn't sure if I would see Jay again, but he made it. So I asked Jay to join me on the podcast now that he's recovered a bit, and to tell us his unreal story. So if you've ever had your doubts about COVID, give this a listen. Jay is the real deal.
Welcome to the Insiders Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Jay.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Well, I've done one or two podcast interviews already on COVID-19, coronavirus. In your case, though, you're a personal friend of mine. We also work together in radio, and you were affected by COVID-19. And I thought you might have one of the most compelling stories that I've heard so far. I had tweeted about you a few times to people who don't even know me that well, never mind you, saying, I know a guy who's very, very ill, and this is serious, and people need to take it very seriously. I think there are a lot of people out there who maybe don't know somebody who's actually contracted COVID-19, but in my case, I really do. So I wanted to welcome you and get a bit of your story. And also, I want to interject a bit and give you a bit of mine chronologically so that you can hear how we reacted to learning about you and being sick and what, you know, our misconceptions and our lack of information and how it all played out, I guess you could say. So to begin with, I just want to confirm a few dates. It was brought to my attention originally that you contracted COVID-19 on March 13th. Is that correct? That is correct. Okay. So
yeah, that's right.
Going back from where I am, when COVID hit, I was sending emails and calling staff, just finding out where people were, letting them know what's going on, that sort of thing. And I found out from Joyce on March 20th, she's your co-host, that you were quite sick and had gone to the hospital.
Right.
Now, what happened was we immediately went to security cameras, to our login books to go, when was Jay here last if he has COVID? Because we were all pretty freaked out about it, you know, the 14-day concept. I think at the time they were just saying 10 days. We're like, was he here within 10 days or should we all go get tested? We don't know. And we had thought that the last time you were in the studio was the 14th of March.
Correct.
Yeah, you had somebody there. And I had sent an email to staff saying, oh, don't worry. The last time that Jay was here was the 7th of March. We were mistaken. So we were all like, oh, it's pretty close to 10 days. We're probably okay. But then we found out that actually it was the 13th and you were there on the 14th. And that, you know, a lot of people got very nervous. So it was actually when we found out about you getting quite sick and going to the hospital, that was the day when we immediately started sending staff home. And a lot of staff started saying, we don't want to be here anymore because Jay, our coworker and friend, is sick and he's been here and we don't know what to do. So we said from that point forward, all right, if you're not comfortable, you no longer have to come to work. Now, you got it on the 13th. Give us that story very briefly. How did you get it and when did you get your symptoms?
Well, I was in a gathering on the 13th. I think that was a Friday night and it was a super spreader event. We don't know who was carrying. Everybody, we looked pretty good and no signs and symptoms. Nobody was coughing. And there was no signs and symptoms of COVID on the Friday night. And then for me, you know, Saturday, I went to the studio, of course, as you say from the record, you know, I have lost a few things during that span of time because I was sick. And then Saturday, I was normal. Sunday, I was normal. Monday, I went to work. I came home and I was no signs and symptoms. Tuesday, I went to work and I was actually coughing. And I think Tuesday was St. Patty's Day, if I recall it correctly. And Tuesday, I was coughing. It was just cough here and there, you know, not like nonstop, but little here, little there. And then I did actually a COVID test on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I think it was St. Patty's Day, if it is correct, on 17th. So 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 5 days, no sign, no symptoms, mild cough, only on the fourth night. And on the fifth day, I was coughing here and there. Now, interestingly, my doctor actually called me and said that, why don't you go to Peter Lloyd Hospital and check your oxygen? And I was like, why my family physician is calling me? Because he got the test result there. Now, I did the test just out of curiosity because one of my friends was going at the old children's hospital and I just jumped into his car and I went there, right? So it was not that, you know, that I had COVID. And then on that day, actually, the doctor told me, can you go to Peter Lloyd and just check out your oxygen level because you're coughing? And we also don't know. We know only basic signs and symptoms. Maybe it's a good idea to go to Peter Lloyd. And I was thinking, oh, no. Going to Peter Lloyd and it's 5 o'clock. So if I land up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock, I'm going to sit there till 2 in the morning because, you know, we have some.
And just for anybody who doesn't know, Peter Lloyd is the local hospital here in Calgary.
Local hospital, yeah. Right. So I told, actually, my wife, can you drop me at the hospital? And there was a big sign outside the hospital that no one is allowed to come in except the patient. So I walked in through the ER, the emergency room. And immediately at the entrance, they told me to, you know, disinfect my hand and keep moving, you know, go right. And there was a small room. I was sitting with a few other people, two other people actually. And they were not patient. I think they came as a visit to see someone.
Okay.
And as I sat, I just felt a little bit of dizziness there, you know. And the nurse came within 5 minutes and she took my fever. She said, it looks like we have to take you in right now. Let me go and bring a bed for you. So she left and she came back in 5 minutes and the bed was there. And I jumped on the bed, opened my shoe. I put the shoes under the bed. And as they were moving, I could see that, you know, I'm passing through the reception. I'm passing through a few doors and windows and rooms. And then I was feeling more dizzy. And then I passed out.
Just
I
like
completely
that.
Completely passed out.
Yeah.
And later on, I was told I passed out because my oxygen level at that point of time was 62. You need 94 minimum on a room oxygen to survive and feel good. 94, 200. 60 is the choking, you know, like a chamber where you die, 60, and then out of choking, and then 62, I was 62. And that was because, of course, I was COVID positive.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. And I don't know, it's point blank, all gone.
You completely pass out. Hang on, though, before the wake-up part, we left you a voicemail, we were texting you, we were like, this is strange, Jay's not responding. And right. It wasn't until your co-host said, hey, he's really sick and he's been in the hospital. And then we found out. In the meantime, you've already been at the hospital and you're already in the ICU.
Right.
Correct.
Right. So between 17th and the next 25 days, you know, that's all the way till April, mid-April. I have no idea. So here is the story. So I woke up and as soon as I woke up, I see I'm in a room and I have two pipes running on my left hand. One is one IV for food. The barley was passing to feed me. And there was another IV, there was a saline, you know, they pushed me there. And I had an oxygen tube on my nose and I had a 4-hole here, you can see. And those are actually, they just took it out, 4 pipes to send it through my lungs. And my mouth, they put another pipe from inside and I had a catheterized in, you know, to pee, of course. And I opened my eye and I was kind of trying to recall, why am I here? And it took about 30 seconds. And so, oh, I'm in the hospital, that's right. And my wife actually dropped me yesterday. So the nurse was standing next to me and I said, wow, I'm here only for 24 hours or less. Like it's 5 o'clock and I came like probably 6 o'clock yesterday. And what's going on? Like, why do I have all these pipes and, you know, catheterizing and oxygen tube? What's going on? And she smiled back at me and she told me, sir, you're not here for 24 hours. You're here for 25 days. This is your 25th day. I said, no, kidding. How can a person sleep for 25 days? I have never heard in my whole life or like in a medical history.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you were in an induced coma, fighting for life and death. On the 21st day, actually, you know, we don't know what to do. The doctor didn't know what to do.
Mm.
And then the doctor came after 2 hours. And I said, doctor, I have something to ask you. I'm a little worried now, you know. My nurse here told me that I was sleeping for 25 days. like, you know, this is one of those stories, like, you know, like Little Riding Hood, Robin Hood story kind of thing. Like we study in our school in kindergarten in grade 1 and 2. How can someone sleep for 25 days and then actually normally wake up after 25 days? And he said, hey, yes, the nurse was very right. Today is your 25th day. We just transferred you this afternoon from an ICU. Now, this was 25th day. So on the 21st day, this is what I was told, that all my numbers were falling apart. You know, my oxygen level was, I think, 68, unit 94, and all the pressure and everything was just falling, you know. So they wanted to send me to Foothills Hospital to do a hemodialysis. And that was the last resort you do. And chances are 99.9% that a person will not leave. There are two reasons for that. Number one, they have to take you out of a ventilation and then pass you to the other hospital in an ambulance. And at that point of time, your organ may not work proper because you are no more under ventilation and you are just on temporary oxygen. Mm. So that, well, you know, chances are very bleak. If you take out off the ventilation and bring him in an ambulance, at least takes 22 to 28 minutes between two hospitals. So the organ may collapse and he may die. But that was the turning point. The miracle happened right there. You know, I started moving on my bed for some reason, and the doctors actually saw me out of the glass room, and they ran inside and they saw all my numbers are getting positive. You know, my oxygen was 94, my blood pressure was 120 by 85, which is for a normal person. And they were amazed to see that. So on the 25th day, they released, because they tried at least 4 times to take me out of ventilation, but my body was not coping up. So it was on for a few minutes, and then again it was collapsing. So immediately they have to put me back to ventilation. Then on the 25th day, I was normal. My body was all good. So they transferred me to a normal room.
Yeah.
And that's where I woke up.
I want to speak to your wife a little bit. I didn't know her well prior to this. Met her a few times at a few events, that sort of thing. But once we found out about you being in the hospital, I had gotten her phone number, and I felt very nervous about texting or calling her, because I was like, I have no idea what condition your family's in right now if you're in the ICU.
Right.
And the one thing I'll say about her is she remained extremely optimistic, like really optimistic about your recovery, even like early on when you were in the ICU and you were on life support. And I recall saying to people, wow, she seems really positive. And I was thinking, I'm really nervous for them because this is not good for you. And she ended up calling me on the 17th of April, I think, and saying, and you know, I would nervously answer the phone like, oh, what's going on? It'd been such a long time, you know? And she said, Jay's being removed from the ICU. And I was like, what? You know, because we didn't know what to think anymore. It'd been like 25 days. And we were shocked. And I remember writing a Facebook message to our private staff Facebook saying, Jay is back. He's out of the ICU. It's looking really good. And I never knew that I would be sending that message. I wasn't sure. Like, you know, looking back now, we're like, oh, you made it. It's great. But man, for somebody as close as we are to know each other, to only have your wife to talk to, who I don't even think had access to you, did she? She was getting information from the hospital. Like, they weren't letting people in to visit people that were in the ICU with COVID because they were concerned about people contracting it, right?
Right.
And I remember thinking, I can't believe it. Like, it's amazing. You're coming out of this now, because you got to that point where I was psychologically like, I don't know. I know a guy and he's been in there a long, long time. Didn't know what to think. But I remember the phone call and it felt amazing. I was driving down the Deerfoot Highway. I almost wanted to cry. I was like, holy smokes, he's out, you know?
Right.
That felt amazing.
And you know, nobody was allowed to actually come in. Now, of course, see, they were super serious because it was the first batch, right? They don't know what to do, what will happen if someone comes too close to a patient. But now at least they let people to come in the ICU to see. And she had no access to phone. She had no access, you know, to see me, no pictures, nothing. When I say no access to phone, is basically there is only one unit number you call. And all they say is the same, is the same, is the same, right? So she was a little bit worried, like, what is the same, right? Because they really didn't want it to say, unless I have a good progress.
Well, if she was nervous, she didn't show it. Do you have any thoughts on COVID now that you've actually contracted it and recovered? You see what's happening in the world. You see the news coverage, all that.
Well, I think the things are getting much, much better. It is very much in control. That's what I will say. Perhaps because people didn't know in the month of March what to do. So they were super cautious. Right now, of course, people are cautious. But I see that cautiousness is actually dying out because people are getting fed up. They're tired.
Yeah.
And they're kind of saying, you know, whatever, who cares kind of thing. But you see, we don't know what happened when you get attacked by COVID, right? All we know, if you're COVID positive, just lock up yourself in a room for 14 days, you're self-isolated and you're okay. But you see, in a journey of 14 days, many things can happen to you, and especially with people between 40 and 60 years old. If you have diabetes, if you have former, lungs problem, chain smokers and people like that. So just for 14 days and everything is jolly good show. Anything can happen. You can actually give it to others very easily. So I see a lot of people not wearing masks. I go to grocery store, people are touching everything, keeping it back to the shelf. And that really bothers me a lot, because I have been victim of COVID, and I feel that, people should not have to go through a journey that I have gone through.
Yeah, man, I hear you. Well, thanks for doing this, Jay. I appreciate it. Your story matters, man, and it's close to a lot of our hearts, of course, because we know you. So thanks for sharing it.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks to Jay for joining me and telling us his story. It was crazy, wasn't it? Hey, if you like what I do, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. And if you don't already know, most of my podcasts are available in video form as well. Just go to YouTube and search for Insiders Podcast. And if you have a story that you'd like to tell, reach out to me, Michael, at distinctmedia.ca. Thanks so much. All right, hit it, Amber.
Thank you for listening to the Insiders Podcast. We do our very best to be as accurate as possible, but take no responsibility for inaccurate details or facts. If a topic interests you, we're happy to have brought it to your attention, but please take the time to research the details for yourself. To find out more about Insiders Podcast and all of the work that we do, check out distinctmedia.ca.